talk last week, we were talking about those scenarios that occur where bittul does not apply. The basic idea behind all of the cases where bittul doesn't apply is because the item is too choshev to be bottle. Now that concept that something that's very choshev, it's very significant, it's not bottle, and the pashup shot is that's only a concept midirabbanan. All those applications that we find, whether we're dealing with a Tavish of a minion we spoke a little bit about last week, a chticha liskabed, or barriers, whole items, whole creatures, just about all those principles, according to most opinions, are only midirabbanan. Again, the idea being that bittul, kishmai kenu, bittul means something that is bottomless, nothing, it's meaningless. So if it's not meaningless, or something that stares us in the face with significance, that's something that at least midirabbanan we have to reckon with. Then there is another example of something which is not bottle, which is actually the exact opposite of this, and that's what's called a dover sheyesh lamatirid, a famous Gemara in appears in Maseches Beitza, begins appears in Maseches Nedarim, that when you have a dover asur that is going to become mutter at some point in the future, either it's going to become mutter because time is going to elapse and therefore the isur is going to be nita leheter, or because some kind of an action can be done to be mata this isur, that's what's called the dover sheyesh lamatirin. And we have a klal gadol called dover sheyesh lamatirin afilu bi elef lo batel. That we have a dover sheyesh lamatirin, it's never going to be batel. So at first glance, this seems to be very, very strange, because l'chora of a dover sheyesh lamatirin, it sounds like it's better off. Sounds like it's easier to be mevatel it. It's almost mutter anyway. So what's the big deal? It's not such a serious isser. So why all of a sudden does dover sheyesh lamatirin override the halachas of bittul? So this is a major machlekes of Rishonim between Rashi and the Ran. What is the lumdus? What is this based on? So Rashi, Maseches Beitza, writes that the reason why dover sheyesh lamatirin afilu bielef lo batel is ad shetochlenu beisur tochlenu beheter. If you have a choice to eat something based on bittul, this is a shvacha thing. Bittul is not such a great thing. It's really awesome, but we look the other way around the hatos. But if you could wait out for another few hours and you'll eat it, klat, it'll be mutter lechatchila belishum kulas. So why not? If you have, let's say, a piece of chazer falls into your pot of potato soup, so what are you going to tell the guy? What are you going to wait for? Wait, I'd be as good. The pot, if you say bittul doesn't apply, so the food's going to have to be thrown out. But when you have something which is, let's say, for example, the Gemara gives beginning with a beitza should also be yomtiv. So you have a beitza that was laid on yomtiv, so it's muktzah. You're not allowed to eat it on yomtiv. Again, it gets mixed up in a few other beitzim. So what's the big deal? So you wait for a few hours, but so you'll eat it for tomorrow morning's scribbled egg. So you won't eat it today for egg salad. So you wait for a few hours. So that's what Rashi says, that dover sheyesh lamatirin from the aflo botil is because you have that opportunity to wait. Why rely on bittul? Bittul's not such a great idea. So this is a little bit of a problem, this Rashi, that bittul's not such a great idea. And what's so terrible about relying on bittul? It almost makes it sound like all the shurim that we give you now, these are all bidiyah. These are all like, this is not really the way real Yerech Shemayim act. Real tzaddikim don't rely on bittul. That's what it sounds like. That ach, the chlenebi yissa, why should you rely on a shvach akula? Wait it out for a few hours till it's bittul lechadchila. So this is a little bit startling, because we usually don't think this way. We usually think, so when something is bottle, it's mutter. If somebody comes to me with a pot and says, a little bit of chaz fell into my potato soup, so we figure out that it's bottle mishishim. So is my answer as follows? You know, you're right, it's really okay. But if you want to be a real Yerei Shemayim, you want to be Mahanim, you want to be Azah from, so don't rely on bittul. Is that the correct response? So Poshup Shah is that's not the correct response. And many Acharim say that that is so not the correct response. It almost smacks a little bit. It says, a shtickle of Enom Hamim Divya Chacham. It's a little bit of apikorsis. Means the Torah gives us dinim of bittul. So a bittul is one of the dinim of Torah around the hatos. But you don't believe in Tosh Rabbeb. You don't believe in the sugyas of Maseches Chulin. So that's that, right? So what do you mean that I don't want to rely on bittul? That's like sometimes people say, I don't carry in the Eruv. You ask them, why do you carry the Eruv? I don't hold from Bab Mitzvah. I don't hold from Yivam. I don't hold from Eruv. You could say that. I don't want to carry this Eruv because this Eruv is relying on a certain kula that's a b'chlekes, I don't give you a whole shtickle Torah. But just a blanket statement, I don't rely on Eruv. That's a little bit silly. Sometimes people call me that they're guests from out of town, so they want to know. We want to know about the standards of the Eruv. So I usually respond, what do you want to know? Like, tell me. They don't know what they want to know. That's the problem. They want to hack you. So I said, if you want to know, do we rely on this kula? Yes. Do we rely on this kula? No. Do we rely on any specific things? I'll be happy to tell them. Once somebody called me and asked me about the Eruv, and they prefaced by saying, is it under the same standards as the RCBC restaurants? I wasn't sure what the dimion was exactly. I don't know I'm not sure how you measure that exactly. I don't know whether they help from the RCBC restaurants. I'm not sure which direction they were coming from. Anyway, back to the story. So we usually think that bittul berov is okay. What's wrong with bittul berov? There's nothing b'diyavad bittul berov. So there, the Badi HaShulchan, in his classic sefer in Yeridaya, so the Badi HaShulchan suggests that maybe what Rashi is driving at is as follows, that it's not that, according to the halacha per se, bittul's bad. It's just that in people's eyes, people don't chop. Not everybody comes to the Sunday morning Freiburg Schwitz shir, the anonymous shir. Not everybody comes to the shir. So maybe people don't chop. They don't realize what bittul is. So they come to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, yeah, it's okay, it's mutter. So they think, what it really means is that we don't have to be so careful about treifus. We can really cut corners in treifus. So Chazal now are in a little bit of a pickle, because on the one hand, they probably would have wanted to make an issur d'rabbanan not to rely on bittul, legamri, because bittul is just, it's in the eyes of the people, it's very, very misleading. A guy sees, rabbi, a little bit of chazer fell into my soup. Is it okay? The rabbi says, yeah, it's fine, it's perfectly okay. Well, the rabbi said, it can be chazer. That's what people are going to walk away with. So on the one hand, Chazal probably should have done away with bittul. On the other hand, they don't want to do away with bittul. If you do away with bittul, it's going to cost people a lot of money. Chazal, money shay Yisrael, every time there's a shayla, it'll make life easier for the rabbis. Everything has to get thrown out. There's never going to be a shiloh. So that's what Rashi's trying to drive at, that when you can avoid bittul, we try to avoid bittul. Not because we want to avoid bittul, because it doesn't look right. Bittul is just a shvach kula in the eyes of people. And therefore, atchet tachlan bi istachlan bi hatos. Rashi didn't mean atchet tachlan bi iser, mamish, mamish bi iser. There's really nothing objectively wrong with relying on bittul. But atchet tachlan bi iser means perception. Perception is more the point of the reality sometimes, that the perception of iser is something that we're trying to avoid. So this is Rashi's whole shtickl Torah in Beit, in one line, as to what Dovashesh material is based on. But the Ran in Maseches Nedarim has an entirely different picture from Rashi. The Ran may buy into part of Rashi's story also in a little bit of a different context, but the Ran develops almost like a Shia Kloli about why Dovashesh material is really also bottle. It's really a throwback that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, why things are bottle in the first place. When you have a Tyrovis of Min Mimino, it's a classic case, a little bit of tray for chicken soup falls into a big, big pot of kosher chicken soup. So there was a machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, and what do I do? So Rabbi Yehuda says, min bimino ain't a bottle. It's never a bottle. The only time there's bittul is when you have two conflicting items, but it's the same exact thing. Min bimino ain't a bottle. We learned that from Sukkim, from Tamapar, Tamasov. We spoke a lot about that a couple of weeks ago. And the Rabbana disagreed. The Rabbana said, it's not true. Mabitom, min bimino is a bottle. What's the shia bittul? Rov, achram lahatos. That's the dimin haTorah. Maybe the rabbanon yishisha, but midaraisa min b'min was bottle b'rov. I can have 49% tray for chicken soup, 51% kosher chicken soup. Pashup shad is that's bottle midaraisa according to the view of the chachamim. According to the view, that's also min haTorah. So what's the machlekes? What's the conceptual machlekes? I think we're across psukim and drushes and stories from Dabapar, from Buddhism, Kippur, and Betachlis. But what's the lumdus of this machlekes? So the Ran develops this idea that we spoke a little bit about a couple of weeks ago, where the Ran says that the whole principle of bittul is presupposing that there's a clash that's taking place. Remember the Hebrew word, hit nagdut. There's a conflict, there's a clash between the two items. So bittul means that two things are fighting one against another, and one is being mevatel the other. But if you have two items that are arm in arm, hand in hand, they're not fighting with each other. They're the same. They're too close to each other to be fighting. They're not fighting. They're the same thing. So b'chiyai gamli, that's not called bittul. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Bittul makes sense when you have chicken soup with the potato soup. But when you have chicken soup with the chicken soup, it's the same thing. So what kind of bittul is that? There's no conflict. So what did the Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Yehuda? It's true that in the physical universe, there's no conflict between kosher chicken soup and treva chicken soup. But in the halachic spiritual universe, they are kemechach, mizuch, and mayrach. They're very, very different from one another. One's kosher, and one's treif. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda was looking at the world through a very physical characteristics, Rabbi Yehuda looked at it through the eyes of the lab. The Rabbanan said, no, we don't look at it through the eyes of the lab. We look at it through the eyes of the base medrash. So kosher chicken soup and treif and chicken soup could not be further apart than one. They're totally, drastically opposed to one another. There's a classic Taramada question. How do you view the world? So I always tell Tamidim, is it the pre 3 o'clock or post 3 o'clock on days when there's no early Shia? But for those who, well, you guys may still have those fond and not fond memories of those hours. So if you look at the world through the eyes of the Beis Medrash, so this is kosher and this is treif and this is very, very different. And therefore, there's a clash, there's a conflict, and bittul kicks in. Whereas if you look at the world through the eyes of the chem lab, through the science lab, you're after 3 o'clock, so then it's the same thing. There's a chicken soup. It's the same exact taste, same look, same taste, same feel. Everything's all the same. So how can you speak about bittul? So we happen to bask like the Chachamim. that bittul is a function of halachic differences. So this is where the Ran kicks in. The Ran says, since the entire principle of bittul is presupposing that there's a radical difference in the world of halacha between kosher chicken soup and trefa chicken soup, that's true if the trefa chicken soup is trefli on vod. If it's Lipton's, Campbell, whatever it is, chicken soup, so that's never going to be mutter. That's going to remain also the oil and blood. But, says the Ran, when you have something that is only lekach to become mutter, so wait a second, this is sir. It's not ayayay, it's not so wasser anyway. So the problem is, once this isser is not so wasser, it's going to become mutter. Tomorrow's going to come, yantum's going to end, something else is going to come, it's going to be mutter. Once you have an item that's only lekach to become mutter, then the clash, the hitnagdut between the isser and the heter becomes very, very watered down, very diluted. And now, guess what? Now we're in a pickle. Now we taka don't have a bittul anymore. So comes the rabbi and says, don't think the shtickle Torah mind is true minat Torah. Minat Torah, it's not true. Minat Torah, if it's also, it's also mutter, mutter, whatever it is, b'asher sham, it's going to happen in a week from now, it doesn't matter. Midaraisa, even the chachamim say, even on a davar shesh matir is bottle. But mid the rabbanon, we can understand why Chazal went this extra mile. Why Chazal instituted davar shesh matir if it'll be also bottle? Because there is this idea here that the davar also is not as also as we think it is. So that's the rationale. That's the lomdus of the sheet, the Saran. It's based on this that the Ran goes the extra mile, and the Ran says, and now I'll explain to you a very, very strange phenomenon in Hilchos Davar Shesh L'Matirin. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim point out, it's based on the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, based on the Rishalmi, that Davar Shesh L'Matirin, if it'll be aflo botil, only applies to min b'mino. It doesn't apply to min b'she'eino mino. Why is that? So says Ran, very simple. Min b'she'eino mino anyway is different from one another. It's the physical. Even the Rabbanon agree that there's something about the physical world that makes it different. So if you literally have two different kinds of items, physically, chemically, scientifically, in the lab, it's a different item. So then, of course, it's going to be bottled. The fact that it's davar shesh matirin doesn't matter. The only time that davar shesh matirin plays a role is only when we're dealing with min b'mino. So scientifically, it's identical. And now you're hinging on the fact that it's halachically going to be different, but that's what Davar Shesh Matir kicks in and says, no, the Yisra is diluted a little bit, and therefore it's not considered to be enough of a conflict, enough of a hit nagdut, and therefore Bittul is not going to apply. So this is the whole, those who want to take a look back in Dafyomi, those who did all the Rans in Dafyomi and Maseches Nedarim, so Kol HaKavod, there's a difference between the Rans and the Rushes in terms of the Ran as Maseches Nedarim, and you learn Nazir, so many people have learned the Rushes. So the Rans, you get these sheer klolis, mamash, you know, like these marachas and marachas and marachas and marachas, but at least the letters are big enough you can actually read them. The Rush is very, very bekits and imrits, but I don't know what everyone else is doing, but I can't read the words. Since 7 years ago of Dafyomi, I partially cannot read the words of the Rush. On my phone is a mamash bracha batal. Like every once in a while, I'm stuck. I want to quickly do the daf on the phone. I push it, and he cannot. No, I was having the same problem. I can't read the words. Anyway, so I have to bring a magnifying glass with my phone together to try to figure out what's going on. And then he can never find which page it's on because all the printing is on the wrong page. You can never find the rush. I don't know. It's very challenging. I want you to continue to try to rise to the challenge, but it's hard. It's hard. Okay, back to the story. So according to this shtickle Torah of the Ran, at least we have a very, very fancy kind of a beer as to what's going on. But when you go down the root of the Rash, go down the root of the Ran, the Maaseh Din is the same. The Din of Halacha Maaseh Shulchan Aruch says very, very clearly that when you have a Davar Shesh Matirin, so that afilu be'elef lo batel. So there are a few potential applications of this principle of Davar Shesh Matirin that can play out Halacha Maaseh for us. The most common potential application is Chametz B'Pesach. So the Rambam says that you want to know why Chametz Pesach is not bottle. Everyone knows this din. Chametz Pesach is also Vashu, Ferish Gemara, Chametz Pesach, Hashem Vashu. Ferish Gemara, according to most of the Rishonim, but Rabbi Natam didn't have that long in the Gemara. There's a whole machlokes in Maseches Pesach about what the Shia Bittul for Chametz is or is not. And finally, we have the Maskara Se Gemara. Rabbi of our Rishonim had the Girsa that Hilchasa Chametz Pesach is also Vashu. And Rabbi Natam and the Shiltas had that last line didn't exist. That's not what the Gemara meant. That's not what the Gemara said at the very end. The halacha, we don't follow the view of Rabbi Natam. We follow the view of the Ruba, the Rishonim, that Chametz B'Pesach is Tacha Asa B'Mashil. Sometimes you'll find in post-game that they'll rely on this Rabbi Natam, B'Shasa and Chak, together with 15 other Tzirufim. You're not sure it was really chametz. You're not sure this. You're not sure that. You're not sure that. So then, very often, you'll see it in a place. All right. And anyway, there's shittas of minatam and the shittas of shiltas that the chametz of pesach is not really bato. It's not really asim mashu anyway. It's bato b'shishim like all other isurim. But again, normative halach is if you are cooking on chol moed pesach and a breadcrumb falls into your tremendous pot of soup. So according to most of the rishonim and shulchan aruch, we pass you have to you can't eat that soup. That soup is off limits for pesach because we pass the halach of chametz of pesach asim mashu. I've told over the humorous story, I think in the past, well, Chazar is always good. It's almost close to Pesach, not quite, but getting there. So this took place in Riverdale, in the Young Israel of Riverdale, at a Shalosh Shudas. This goes back, it was a little bit before we got married, so you're talking about, I don't know, 20, around 30 years ago, give or take. It was wasn't Shabbos HaGol, I think it must have been like the week before Shabbos HaGol or something, that we had a very illustrious guest in Riverdale at the time. Shlomo Kabach come to spend Shabbos in Riverdale. So he made the rounds at the different shuls. And he came to Rabbi Willig's shul for Shalosh Shudas. I was there myself. I was sitting there. Shlomo Kabach was presenting at Shalosh Shudas. He was leading a little bit of Shalosh Shudas tish, and he was singing, and he was telling stories, and Maiselach, and, you know, and shmoozing. And it was one of the most colorful moments in Riverdale. Definitely one of the most colorful Shabbos in Riverdale. Remind me, you have to take some of the other side shows that's not relevant for this part, but the other part is relevant for the shiur as follows. So all of a sudden, Shlomo Kabach started to tell a whole story about there was a lady in Poland and she was very poor, and she didn't have any food, and it was Pesach, and then all of a sudden they realized there was chametz had fallen into the pot of soup, and she goes crying to the rabbi, I don't have any food, I have nothing. And the Rebbe said, don't worry, I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to get a scream, I'll tell you what to do. One of these, I saw Rebbe's face, it was like going from colors to colors. And finally, the Rebbe made a story, and something along the lines is that the Rebbe goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and he calls the Yidina, and he says, Heilige Yidina. Rabbi Natam came to me in a dream. Rabbi Natam came to me in a dream and he said, that's why I wrote what I wrote in Sachem, because I knew that there's going to be a Yidden in Poland, it's not going to have a pot of soup for the Seder. So Rabbi Natam came to save the day. That was the gist of the story. So that was, if you're interested, but we don't pass like that stuff. We pass it that Chutz Beis was us from Masha. So the Rishonim have a Shaila, why is it? Why is it? What's it in? No pun of the Manishtan. Why is Chametz different? Why is Chametz Beis was us from Masha? So the Rambam says, the answer is Asugya. The Rambam says, because Chometz is also today, and it's going to be Mutta tomorrow, it's going to be Mutta next week, if the Pesach. So, why do you have to eat it now? Wait it out for a couple of days, and the Chometz is going to be Mutta. That's what the Rambam says. And then the Rambam adds on, the Rambam says, but we all know, we just said a moment ago, that Dov Shesh Matirin is only been Mim B'Mino, it's not been Mim B'She'eno Mino, and by Chometz of Pesach, according to the way Ruben the Rishon had the Girsa, it's even by Mim B'She'eno Mino. We pass it, let's say if a breadcrumb falls into your pot of potato soup, so that's a problem. So according to the theory of Dov Shesh Matirin, why should it be also even B'She'eno Mino? So the Rambam writes, that's already Chometz of Chometz, that already don't bother me, says the Rambam. That's a special Chometz, they slapped on for Chometz, because why not? It means, B'dil Minei Chazal, to a lot of Chometz in Chometz. But the Ikaron, the basic halacha of Chometz being B'mashu, at least B'mino, that you don't need Chometz of Chometz, that's based on the regular din of Dov Shesh Matirin. So many of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, the Rosh and others disagree with the Rambam and say, Imkvar Askvar, you already have to come on to Chumah de Chometz, so maybe the whole thing is Chumah de Chometz. That everything is Chumah de Chometz. So it's nothing to do with Dov Shesh Matirin. Why isn't it a Dov Shesh Matirin? So the Mordechai quotes Maseches Pesachim, the Dov Shesh Matirin means when you have something that's Osir, that's going to become Mutter, it's going to remain Mutter Li Olam Vod. Something that's Osir is going to become Mutter, and then it's going to become Osir again. And then Mutter, it's a revolving door Isser. That Chometz for Pesach. Chometz for Pesach is Osir on Pesach. It's Mutter after Pesach. Comes Osir again next Pesach. Every year, it goes back and forth. So says the Mordechai, that's not called the Dov Shesh Matirin. You have to figure out the Lamedus why that's so, but that's what the Mordechai says. That's how the Ramah Paskin is like that. Mordechai, we Paskin, Me'ika Mikra Din, Chometz for Pesach is Tachan, not the Dov Shesh Matirin. It's also Mashu anyway, but not because of the reason of Dov Shesh Matirin. What's the difference, whether it's the Dov Shesh Matirin, whether Chometz or Chometz, what's the difference? So the Rishonim write is a big difference. Let's say you have a taroves of chametz. A little bit of chametz falls into a big pot of a kosher food. It's both shishim, but it takes place at Erev Pesach in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a little bit of chametz falls into a big pot. What's the din? So according to the Rambam, it's a problem because it's a davar sheish to matir and finish. But according to the Rosh, the whole reason why it's asa b'mashu is because of chumid chametz. Chumid chametz only kicks in on Pesach itself because Erev Pesach, there's no Issa Karis anyway for Chametz. So Chametz on Erev Pesach, even though it's also important, the most we showed him in HaTorah in the afternoon, but that's a very, very Issa Kal. It's not an Issa Karis, and therefore Chobit the Chametz doesn't apply. So Chaps, a tremendous Nafka Midladin. Let's say something falls in, a little Chametz falls into a pot, Erev Pesach you're cooking, one breadcrumb falls in. According to the Rambam, it's also finished. You can't eat it the whole week. According to the Rush, no, it's okay. You can eat it now. It's fine. Chumet to Chumet doesn't apply now. And then once you can eat it now, so then many Rishon, including the Rambam, Paskin this way, you can now eat it on Pesach also. Because once we Paskin that it was Mutter, so it becomes Batel. Once it's Batel, then it remains Batel for the duration of Pesach as well. The only time Chumet is a Davish Eish Matirin is when the Chumet fell in on Pesach proper. So if you follow the Rush, then Erev Pesach is treated like pre-Pesach. That's not yet Chumet to Chumet. So then once the little drop falls in, then it becomes but you can mamash eat it on Pesach. So once, one time I had a Paschal this Shiloh, based on mamash it really, really happened, that I think I've told over the story in the show before, that those who are interested in hearing this entire shiur, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's on Yud Torah in Hebrew. I think there are like three shiurim that I gave in Hebrew in the last 20 years. One of them is that were actually recorded. One of them, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was in Shalavim. It was... I was there for YU. It was like the day before Shchosh Nisan or something. I don't know why in the world I got sent to the yeshiva. There was nobody there. It was like a little day before Shchosh. Everyone, 95% of the guys had packed out. Like 30 guys left. And I was coming in to give a shiur klali. And I said, what are they learning? They're learning Bava Basra. I said, well, that's good. They were interested in hearing shiur Bava Basra. So I said, no, 10 shiur binyan, Pesach, some shiur in Pesach. But there were a lot of Israelis floating around also. They wanted to hear a shiur. So they said, so I gave a shiur in Hebrew. So about the following shaila. So if I'm not mistaken, I think if you fiddle around and find it in Yud Torah, in the Hebrew section of Rebbe Sablowski, all three of those shiur. So the shiur was a maisa shoya kachwaya. I'm sure real shiila. There was a frantic discovery on the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach, that brownies, like this kosher Pesach brownies that had been used with that made matzah meal, so they realized that the matzah meal that they had bought was not kosher Pesach, but it was chametz tikka matzah meal. Potentially, some of the matzah meal may really be chametz. Depends on different factories are more makbid, less makbid during the rest of the year. But it says on it in big bold letters, obviously not bold enough for the person who bought it, but it said not for Passover use. So it was chametz tikka matzah meal. So when did they use the matzah meal? So they tell me the whole story that they were baking an Erev Pesach, and they were baking up a batch of brownies, and they ran short of matzah meal. So they ran to the store, a little bit, mamish, like maybe a spoonful of, one or two spoonfuls full of matzah meal, of the chametz tikka matzah meal, was thrown into the batch, and they baked up all the brownies. Now they're like, Gavalt, what's the din? So I said to them, I turned it into Hoshia, but I told them the kids in Nimrod, so it's based on this Ram and the Rush. According to the Ram, who says that, let's assume worst case scenario that this is Mamash Chometz, assume it's a real Chashash of Chometz in the Matzah, which may or may not be true. So let's assume in the worst case scenario that there is a Chashash of Chometz in them. So then, according to the Rambam, it's a big problem, because according to the Rambam, the Taroivis happened on Erev Pesach. It's a Dabash Eish Batir, and you have to hold off, you have to put off the, you can't eat them, you can't eat those brownies. Whereas according to the Rush, since the Taroivis happened on Erev Pesach, so in Erev Pesach, the Rush wasn't worried about Chalal, but the Rosh Hashanah, even on Pesach. He was only worried about Chumit to Chometz. Chumit to Chometz doesn't apply, and therefore it's bottled. The Ramah Paskins by Lach Balach, once it's already bottled, on Erev Pesach, then it remains, but Bitula remains Heter for the duration of Pesach as well. So I said to them, Ikra Din, we pass like the Rush. I said, we pass in Shulchanach like the Rush, and we pass like the Ramah, then it's Enechai Zvenei, it doesn't come back to life, and once it's bottled. So I said to them, you want to know the honest truth, and we made a Shia to try to figure out about whether it was bittul or not. And Lamaisa was bittul. Lamaisa, there was way, way more than shishim of the kosher Pesach matzah meal with the margarine, with the chocolate chips, everything else. So it was enough to be matzah. So I said to them, Ikem Ikra Din, the cookies are mutter. So of course, would you eat the cookies? So the good news was that the cookies were already eaten. They already enjoyed them the first days. And all the shayla was the trays that they made it on, the pans and the ovens and everything. So I said, Lagabi, all the kalim, I said, you can rely on the kikur. Whether we'd eat the cookies or not, it's a different story. But Lagabi, we kashu in the entire kitchen. So,
it's more
Pesach
shayla.
Yeah.
Pesach that and the Rosh Hashanah. If it was there Pesach, time wise, would it be different?
Yeah, well, if it would be Erev Pesach, well, again, the way we pass in halacha, it probably wouldn't make a difference. But according to some Rishonim, it would be better if it was earlier in the day rather than later in the day. Yeah. According to some Rishonim, that would probably make a difference. I remember it was that Pesach, it happened when I was in L.A. This goes quite a few years back. So that Chol HaMoed, so they asked me in one of the hotels, I think it was in Palm Springs, they asked me to come to Bashir on Chol HaMoed. So the, whatever. Okay, so I went. That was the first and last time I ever went to. So I gave one day chalamad in student sleep. My mom, she went in the afternoon. I gave a shir at some place. So I remember there. I remember seeing that they had like an outdoor barbecue or something, and there was these like kids, like these 15-year-old kids running around lighting the fires under all the barbecues when all the grills were going off and there were all bishalakam problems. And you could see like the mashkiah, everything was in turmoil, was total chaos going on, you know, who knows what was happening. When I remember the kids running, trying to fight matches to try to get the bar before the goyim would start the bishalakam hamburgers. So it was a whole balagan. So somebody commented to me, see all the kashrus issues that go on. I said, listen, the kashrus issue I just dealt with right now is significantly more problematic than, suffering bishalacham. But I just dealt with an issakaris. That didn't happen to Pesach. What happens to the guy's house? Whatever. So it was a little bit of a different degree. So you can't come down hard on everybody. Okay, back to our story. So that wasn't advocating any Pesach problem. It was just telling you a story. That was the whole purpose of the story. Okay, so we have this principle called the Vishesh Matirin, and every once in a while, it really, really does. It does come up. I think we spoke about it. I think we actually gave a whole show about this earlier, either this year or the last year, I forgot already, about one of the applications of a davar she'esh matirin. The Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim is chadosh, that if you have new grain, so the new grain is also davar she'esh matirin because it can be mutter, because it's going to be mutter. So the second day Pesach comes, so the mice of the chadosh is going to become turned into yashan. So that's also considered to be a davar she'esh matirin, which would pose a big challenge. So if you have a little bit of chadosh gets mixed into a lot of yashan, so you wouldn't be able to rely on the kula of bittel, because that's a considered davar she'esh matirin. So I think I mentioned at the time that this shaila came up a lot. It came up. It's still an ongoing issue with the pretzels. That pretzels for many, many, many years, pretzels were always assumed to be yashan, according to everybody. Because the way the pretzels were always made, they were always made with the winter wheat, never made with the spring wheat. Winter wheat in America is never going to be a chadash issue. Spring wheat can or cannot be, depending on the different factors. So even those who were mapped on yashan always ate pretzels. It was never even a shadow, just regular, oh, you pretzels, never had to worry about any issue of yashan. A couple of years ago, there was a change in the pretzel making business that they realized that the amount of protein in the flour that was going into the pretzels, and it wasn't just pretzels, other kinds of foods, that the protein level wasn't up to par. So they apparently, I have no idea, but apparently this is the case, that the spring wheat has a higher level of protein than the winter wheat. So they wanted to make all the garbage that we eat healthier. So they wanted to get more, just in case you could survive all the other things that are inside the food. So when you're done with your sodium issue with your pretzels, so then you can deal with at least you know you have extra protein. So they throw in a little bit of, they were throwing into certain batches of wheat. They were mixing together some of the spring wheat into the winter wheat. So it was way, way both of a shishim. It wasn't even anywhere near the amount. But there was a whole alert in all the Yoshin websites telling you that, wait a second, pretzels, everything just changed. Because davar she'esh matirin, davar she'esh matirin will be also botel, a whole chagad, a whole story about the davar she'esh matirin. So this starts to become a whole tumult about, is that really called davar she'esh matirin? Because what am I going to do with the pretzels? I'm going to hold on to them until Pesach, but they're going to be also Pesach, because they're chametz, so I'm going to have to get rid of them in Pesach anyway. So there's a Rashba that says, that let's say I have a food that gets mixed in, it's davar she'esh matirin, by the time the heter comes along, the food's going to be spoiled. So that's not called davar she'esh matirin. Davar she'esh matirin means it has to be able to, like, lamaisa, I can really, really use it. So there was a whole tumbling back and forth of the pretzels, that maybe the pretzels are not called the davar she'esh matirin because you're going to save them until Pesach. So others said, what do you mean? You'll sell them to the goy. Others said, echmer briska, I don't sell echmer. The same people in Machman Yosha, not selling the chametz gomer. So the whole thing, so it was snowballing. So it's still ongoing. So right now, like in case anyone was interested, so the official policy in the Yosha guides about pretzels is that they can't take responsibility for any pretzels anymore. Well, until 3-4 years ago, all pretzels were good. Now it says you have to consult the only pretzels that say on them Yashin can be assumed to be Yashin. Okay, so anyway, it's a chashash of a double shesh matirin on the pretzels, in case anyone's fascinated with that particular topic. Okay.
Wouldn't the same thing apply to, let's say, the soup and the bread from the falls in off Pesach?
Oh, so that's a question. So you're in a chenavi. So, but here life may be worse for us because of freezers. Because you really can. There's really no issue to hold on to it. There's nobody rubbing them up. It's such an insignificant amount. So you want to argue that, well, the soup's going to spoil by then. It's spoil. Stick it into the freezer. You have it 6 months later. So
more along the line, it wouldn't be considered
Right, it wouldn't be chametz, chametz, gomer that you have to literally throw it out. Right, right. So that whole holding on to something becomes a loaded question. This idea of davash esh matirin actually doesn't only play out in terms of tarobas. There's a parallel sugya in Maseches Beitzah where the Gemara says another kula that we don't rely on by davash esh matirin. That's called suffik derabanan lekula. Whenever you have a situation of a suffik derabanan, 9 out of 10 times you say suffik derabanan lekula and shine. The Gemara says when you have a davash esh matirin, no. And Rashi says the same svar, which Ran probably agrees to, at least vis-a-vis this. So that's a whole other halach of davash esh matirin, that even though we're very comfortable with being mako, but davash esh matirin, sorry, you have to wait it out. So this actually plays out, that we may probably mention this back in the Basel Chol Shirim, this potential issue of davash esh matirin, that all kulas fall by the wayside, you have to just wait until it's mutl gamre. This is a very, very common shayla that we have on Shabbos afternoon. Person eats their lunch. They finished eating lunch around. They know they were out by 2 o'clock because they were at the 2 o'clock bincha. So they're not sure when did they finish eating exactly. So we assume it doesn't matter when they finish eating their dessert. We assume it matters when they finish eating the meat. Although not everyone agrees to that. Most of them make on that they know they finished the meat by 1:30, then the milchik's by 7:30. So they can't remember. They weren't looking at the clock. They milchik's at 7:30, 7:20, 7:40. They're not sure. And then the pizza arrives from the Shabbos learning, and the ice cream arrives, and they want to know, can they eat the milchiks or not? So there's some poskim who want it to be make. And will say that you're allowed to eat. Why? It's a sfeikus, a lot of sfeikus over here. First of all, the whole list of eating milchiks, you have to flesh it, so the rabbanim, so I missed their ice. The issa derisa is when you eat meat and milk cooked together, mamish. So the fact that I ate the cholent at the 1 o'clock, and now I'm getting my pizza till 7 o'clock, that's at worst only at the rabbanim. And number two, it's only a suffix over here. I'm not even sure, maybe I am milchix. And number three, there's another suffix that not everyone agrees you have to wait 6 hours. Many people will say, all you have to do is bench. We spoke about this in the past. You have to wash out your mouth. You have to wait an hour, maybe 3 hours. There are a lot of shittas out there. So even those who follow the practice of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and the Rambam ultimately recommends also, which is probably the most universal minhag of waiting 6 hours, but we admit that there are other legitimate shittas out there. So that's why some poskim want to say it's a sofek, it's a sheik's fake, it's a derabanan, sheik's fake, cool, everything's mutter. If a guy's not sure whether he finished the shulam at 1:20 or 1:30, and he's dying to have his pizza at 7:20, so he can eat the pizza at 7:20, because a sheik's fake is, and everything's mutter. So some achrayim right now, it's not a sheik's fake, you can't rely on any coolers. You know why? It's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Wait another 10 minutes. What do you have to eat it? Chisel away at the 6 hour. Wait another 10 minutes. You can eat it the Belishum Sofik. So that's the question. Is that a correct application of Davash Esh Matirin? So there's an Adi Behuda that says that Davash Esh Matirin means, like the original case in the Gemara, I have this egg, and the egg got mixed into the other eggs, and I want to eat this egg. So I want to eat the eggs right now. So I want to eat it now. So I want to make an omelet now. I don't want to make an omelet an hour from that. I want to eat it now. So that we say to you, you know what? You're going to eat the egg at one time. So why eat the egg now? Eat the egg later if you can. Here, I want to have ice cream now, and I'm going to have more ice cream in another hour from now. I said, that's not a davash esh matirin. I said, davash esh matirin is when you're dealing with one chefza, when you're dealing with doing something again and again and again. I want to eat now, and I want to eat again and again and again. I'm not asking a shot about what's going to happen an hour from now. I want the ice cream, I want the pizza now. So that's called the dover. That's not called the dover sheish l'matirin. And that would be okay. The Nebuda says it in the context of ilchus muktzah. Let's say you have a shayla of a sofik ilchus muktzah. I want to know, can I move this item now? Some kind of a sofik, is the item muktzah now? So the Nebuda says that's not a dover sheish l'matirin. Said I'm going to move it now, and I'll move it again later. Dover sheish l'matirin means in the Gemara's case of eating the dover muktzah. So you can eat it at one time. So there's going to be one achila. So decide when the achila is going to be. Behetah will be iser. So don't do bias if you can do behetah. Whereas here, I'm going to do it behetah later, and I want to do behetah now also. I want to eat it. I want to move it 15 times. I want to eat 20 ice creams. So maybe that's not considered to be a davar sheish matirin. That's a very, very lomdishik question. That's a later machlokes in the poskim. At what point do we say davar sheish matirin? Davar sheish matirin does impact our lives. We do have real shailas that come up, both in terms of tarovas and sveikas, that are governed by the rules, the principles of davar sheish matirin. One of the common applications of davar sheish matirin is if you have silverware on our plates, the things that get trafed up. So it's a very common shayla. A person trafed up a fork, you put the fork away, you put it on the side, and what happens? The cleaning lady comes and takes it and puts it right back into the drawer again. So I have 20 forks, and one of them has to be kashered. I just don't know which is one, which is which. It's a bottle. So can you say that they're all bottle berov and all the forks are okay? So some shayla said, yeah, it's okay. It's bottle berov, and you can use all the forks. And others say, no, it's a davash esh matirin. Why is it davash esh matirin? You can kasher them. What's the big deal? You can kasher the forks. So some Mishnayim say that the principle of Dovashesh Matirin only applies when it's Ein Bo Tircha. It's not such a big Tircha. Here, what a pain in the neck, the kasher, all the forks. You got to go to the well and fill up big pots of water, and you got to go chop down wood, and you got to go get firewood, and you make a whole fireplace, you got to make a whole fire, a whole pot around the kasher or something. So that's not called the Dovashesh Matirin. That's a big, big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So the poskim discuss, what about Bizman Hazeh? It's not so complicated, Bizman Hazeh. It's not like the old days of going to the well and just fill a pot of water, wait till the boiling shine. So it's maybe it's a Dovashesh Matirin. So that's a shaila. That's a big question when you have these kinds of cases, when you have things that are mixed up. How much do you have to be matriarch? How much do you have to drive yourself nuts in order to rely on this cool of being bottled? You have it sometimes also by Tfilas Kalim. Let's say I have Kalim, and I'm not sure it was Teufel, wasn't Teufel. So there are Bonner and Sveikis and everything. Do I have a right to say, well, Suffolk to Rabbanon, look, everything's Suffolk to Rabbanon, cool, everything's Mut, everything's Sveikis, everything's bottled. It's not so simple. It's a Dovashesh Matirin. It's a big deal. Go off to the Kalim for one day and take the, let's say I have one Kli that got mixed up in 400 Kalim. So that's going to be a big, that's going to be a big Tircha to go take all 400 Kalim to the Mikvah. So the guidelines, the parameters of Dovashesh Matirin may change a little bit, depending on just how much Matirch it is or it's not. But the bottom line is that this principle, Dovashesh Matirin, is something that definitely governs Uchus Tarovis, governs other areas of Sveikis and Halacha as well. Okay, we'll take stuff here.